Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Afternoon.
Phil, are we waiting on other folks or?
Felix will be joining us shortly, Commissioner Lopez.
Okay, gotcha. So we, do you want to lead this, Phil? Or how do you want to start this off once?
Myra, I can't hear you. I don't know if it's, oh, never mind. Hold on. It's on my end.
I said, do you want to lead this or do you want me to start things off once he's on or how would you like to go forward? Am I not coming through okay?
No, you're coming through fine. It was on my end.
Okay.
Okay, Tamara, I think everyone's here.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time and Phil, thank you for coordinating a quick meeting. I had reached out to Phil to see about stopping by. I've met with the sheriff and the chief this morning just to start to touch base or not start, but continue our conversations from all the pieces that we put together. And before I put these permits in, I wanted to make sure that I had crossed my T's and dotted my I's with all of you around the roads and pieces that we had discussed previously. So wanted to have a chance to talk through some of those pieces and then Tony and Felix, commissioners, get with you. I'm gonna connect with Frank Zelli in the morning and see a little bit of our ranching community as well before heading back to Leadville. So that can be a separate conversation that we can jump into. But I think my concern before I put this permit in was to make sure I had crossed off on everything in terms of those usages. I know, Phil, you had mentioned last year that no one had reached out to you in advance of that. And so just wanted to start there this morning or this afternoon. It's definitely not morning anymore. So
What roads are you looking at using? I don't have that map in front of me.
Let me send it over to you again. It's the same map. Nothing this moment has changed. And I think we're looking at a long-term solution to either A, moving this into May next year altogether. So this map is the same one at the current time. And I will just try to send over that. So it essentially goes up and out Chestnut over to 7th, out around, get the roads for you so I don't say it incorrectly. I know that we had some concerns around the hunting community and is it 239?
Yeah.
That's where the antelope hunt was last year that all the concern came over.
Oh, and 75 on past 239. Okay.
Yeah. And then over here in my area around Frijola Hill, there is no cell service available. So I don't know what you're going to do about your EOC plan. We had an accident down there by Barella last year, and they needed EMS, and they couldn't get cell service to get out of there. So my suggestion would be to have somebody sitting up here on top of Frijola Hill with the radio, and maybe somebody whoever the chase car is, do have a radio, and then they could call something like that in where there's no service.
So we had radios, and I think part of it will be too, Commissioner, is to make sure that we have radios that, two things, and this is an issue that I need to get with the sheriff on. So we, Lifetime and Leadville Race Series owns two frequencies that only work up in the Leadville area. So what we'll be petitioning for is a frequency in this area that we're able to use, which will open that up. So we have the license to do that. And I have somebody in Colorado Springs who's going to handle that component. And then the sheriff and I have worked on radios that we're able to use between more on the max or multi-use channels here with all responses. So I think we will sew up that issue. Our piece that I didn't know coming into Trinidad is that they didn't have in place those frequencies in it previous to coming into the race last year. So we'll have that in place for communication throughout all aid stations, which is typically, I mean, there's a good chunk of all of our courses that are out of cell service, but people have to be able to get to an aid station to get that information relayed. So does that address your question, Commissioner?
Yes, that'll be of some help. And then also at the base of Frijola Hill where they put up the watering station, that's kind of a blind corner right there from two different directions. They might want to look at putting that up somewhere like on a hill where they're more visible. Where they were parked last year, that looked like a hazard to me.
I wonder if there's a way to push. Like, what's nice about that spot is that it intersects where the course goes different directions, because it does go north there and it goes to the east there. So to look at something in that area in the same spot that accommodates all of those pieces, but that feels like it's safer to you. I understand your concern. They were set back. Like
some signage would be good.
Yeah.
Signage would be good. I think on either end where it's visible and have that traffic slow down before they start around that corner.
Yeah, because they're descending pretty quickly into that corner. And I do have approximately 50 event in progress signs that we can litter about out there up and down Frijola, but also around. I mean, I think this is one of our conversations from March and also last fall is how do we make this communication far and wide much louder to everyone and get the word out in advance? So I do want to work with Kim on that, because we talked about some plans around it. But in terms of this specific piece, my hope, Tony, would be that I would have permission from everybody. The sheriff has okayed it, but from you guys as well, that we would put signage out that Monday of race week so that people begin to know that there's something coming that week. And we can identify those vulnerable spots like that. So the top of Frijoli, behind Frijoli and down, and then also from the other side coming around the corner, but also coming out into Spanish Peaks, coming out into 75, you know, any of those areas that feel highly vulnerable, I'll have a number of signs that we can put in those places and let people become aware early in the week. Does that address that question? Oh, I lost you.
Well, we get Commissioner Tony Haas back. Tamara, I'm sure you're going to have a dry run of communications between now and the actual activity date.
Yes, we'll do a formal, put together the formal plan. And then you all know your backyard better than I do about the best way to run through that makes sure we've checked everything off. And I would certainly take your input on that to make sure we touch everything. And where are your kind of dead spots that we know about? And do you have any repeaters in place?
Bill?
We've got County Road and Bridge repeaters, yes. And I still haven't got that map tomorrow. I don't know what's going on.
Let me see from my end. I'm multitasking, Phil, as part of the problem.
Well, I'm trying to, so I probably missed it.
No, let me get it again here.
You could send it to me and I could forward it to Phil if that would work.
I think what I'll do is I'll just send everybody a quick link to it and then we can try to pull it up together. If you give me a minute.
I turned my camera off. It seems to use less Wi-Fi. So my house just got hit by lightning. That's why I jumped off.
Oh, I saw a lot of strikes were hitting for sure today.
Yeah.
I'm going to reply all to what you just sent out and put it in there, Phil. So it'll come at you. And it's a link. So you should be able to just hit that link and open it up. Coming at you. Should get it there shortly.
Okay.
Hopefully you're okay in your house, Tony. Everything's all right if you got hit.
No problems, just hit close enough to knock the Wi-Fi out.
There you go. Okay, can everybody see that yet? Did it show up?
Yes, it did.
So I'll revisit this with all of you that it's three loops going out, spread out by about a half an hour start on each one of them. The shortest route is 38 miles going out to the east loop there. The 100 and 165 mile loop stay on the same course, give or take, and head more north and then back west into the Spanish Peaks. And I guess one of the questions I have for this year, so this section that is on, I think one of the areas that's of concern about how we address this the best is the section as you come off of County Road 75 and turn back onto County Road. It says 79 on this, but I don't think the plot is actually accurate. So it goes north into Honey, right? And you're looking at on there, you'll see mile markers 41 and 145. That's the road I'm looking at going straight north where it bends, it turns back left. On the County Road 42 that intersects Colorado 239. So I think that section was one of the areas that was of concern and then going north on 239. Is that accurate, Tony?
Yeah, I think so.
And then once we turned back to the west there, I think we were okay. It was that section that was a bit of a challenge. And the plan that's in place at the moment through our conversation is to heavily sign that early in the week, but also I have some signage being prepared to take into places like Big R, Safeway, even the week before that was scheduled that the event is coming. I think Kim was talking, Phil, about a backwards sort of relay of information to those folks in that area as well. Does anybody recall that conversation from our, and that might have been, Tony, were you part of that conversation?
I'm not sure.
I think that one was at the community center, and it was in the fall, like in November, we were talking about, and then again in March, we're talking about some ideas around getting information out to these communities well in advance. And I think part of it, what's the right time frame? Is it 3 weeks out? Is it 4 weeks out? Is it now? If we get it too soon, will it desensitize and they'll forget? You know, what's the best time frame to start to message? And then I think Kim was talking about a reverse 911 kind of, but it wasn't that. Like, she has an access to a way to send out messages to a lot of our ranching and farming community. And I don't recall what exact mechanism she wanted to use. But she had discussed that option. So I plan to get with her and fine tune that piece of the puzzle. But to start to communicate through grocery store, like through everything where people all come that are from more of those communities who may not frequent the regular traffic communication forums in town. Can you think of other ones that would be helpful?
No, you mentioned the ones I think I brought up, Big R and the community centers. And I don't know if you, I don't know. We could put them up in the courthouse too, and we'll make sure to mention it at our commissioner meeting. So,
yeah, and if you can give us blurbs, we'll put them on our social media platforms. I'm sure the city's going to do likewise.
That's what we were discussing. And I think, you know, to Phil's point is, you know, overlapping, like the next set of meetings that I just put out this morning will start us in our bi-monthly, but to make sure we're overlapping with all of the different entities and covering all the best bases to be in touch, you know, and I'm happy to go out to Spanish Peaks and put things up. I'm happy to go. I talked with the sheriff today about, you know, in Leadville, I shifted to a model of using our local search and rescue team to help out with our medical at the aid stations, which I believe has tightened up our community interaction. And in our volunteer districts, it's given us more people who know what's going on in that first response system. And so he's reaching out to those folks here this next week and see if we can't do the same thing. And then we can also indirectly, not that you all care about this, but it allows me to put money back into those organizations and into those specific districts where we would otherwise be contracting somebody outside of here. But it gives, I think it gives us more people in the know of what we're trying to do and talking about it with that information, but it's also then local response being used, which I think will help tighten some things up as well.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me, as you just alluded to get the word out that this is be taking place is a really good way of doing this through local community members. And what better way of doing that than working with the local EMS people? Makes sense.
What other concerns are on, like, you can see the map now, what other concerns are helpful to address right this second and to make sure we're on target?
Where is, and I'm going to get off the map a little bit, but where are most of the bikers anticipating staying, if they're going to be coming in early or staying late, or what's the plan? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'm already seeing that particular weekend. So you're the 7th to the 9th, right, of October. I'm already seeing that your Airbnbs and your different locations lodging are getting taken up. You know, they're being booked. So currently, we haven't done anything besides, you know, market what is available here or help support what's available to put that business back into Trinidad. I mean, I suppose some folks will stay in Raton as well. We could talk about looking for, you know, one of the things I do in Leadville is we partner with the college there and they create an opportunity for camping on campus during that event, during a couple of our events, which makes money for the college and gives you control of where some of those folks might locate themselves. We could look at something similar, maybe the fairgrounds or something. Would that be an option?
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, is if they want to camp, we accommodate camping out at the fairgrounds. We don't have all the facilities that we eventually want to have out there. No dump station. You got to kind of work your way around hydrants and stuff to get any water. But that's our long-term goal, is to get that to where it's especially RV and camper friendly and tent friendly.
I wonder too, Phil, if we couldn't, like one of the things I just did is I took a bunch of, we have these 35 gallon water pigs and I took them up to CMC so that their maintenance crew could fill them. And then there would be something on site for people to fill for water. You know, can we work again with local fire, local ranchers, even whoever might have cisterns that we could just locate out at the fairgrounds to create a couple 500 gallon water sources just to help offset water impacts so that it's in place.
Well, and we also have, I don't know if we'd be using them at that time, but we also have water trucks and we also have a, I think it's a 5,500 gallon tanker trailer that we might be able to free up to you. Of course, it wouldn't be potable water. I wouldn't drink what's coming out of it.
Right.
They could use it for other needs.
The foam might have gotten mixed in with the water. You never can tell.
And rust and everything else.
Right. I have to believe that, you know, in this community, just like in Leadville, there is probably a stockpile of cisterns that, you know, whether they're small or little, like our pigs are little ones, you know, and really we had six or seven of those up at CMC for the duration of the weekend. And then we're able, is there a water spigot out there, or you could, I guess the fire hydrant is what you said you have access to?
No, there's actually water spigots. I'm thinking there's probably three or four of them out there strung about throughout the fairgrounds.
And that maybe water would be potable.
Pardon me?
That water would be potable.
It'd be, yes.
You know, we can supply hoses for that. And then maybe we have, you know, at least, if nothing else, I'll throw in for four of our pigs and bring them down so we can at least, we won't have space to carry everything down, but we can certainly bring something that we could put there at the fairgrounds to help offset that and give people a place to grab water.
Okay.
But I think that's a great idea. And then I guess one thing I would think about too is if we did that, we can certainly work with a local organization that y'all identify and say, hey, you know, let's set this camping up for a $15, $25, $40 donation or whatever that goes back to whatever organization who can maybe help support it, you know, volunteer to run that for the weekend and they get that money back to their organization. And who would we want to do that with? Is that like high school FFA or?
Good question. I would like to think maybe the FFA, I don't know, probably wouldn't hurt to touch base with the high school either. I just don't know what kind of sports activities would be going on at the same time and how many people would be tied up in that, how many students. But yeah, it wouldn't hurt to contact them, I guess.
We were talking about, like, I guess, I have a couple folks starting to reach out to some of these local organizations here, some of our youth groups. It sounds like there is a high level of athletic events happening in that time frame that might be pulling our youth-oriented folks out. But who else uses the fairgrounds regularly that is a nonprofit that would benefit from being involved besides the FFA?
Many of our 4-H's, you know, they use them. Yeah, so we got several 4-H groups that are out there pretty consistently, and they all coincide with the FFA there.
I wonder, are there 4-H's, Tony, are they by like a district? Like how are they divided up?
Kind of by areas. Jody Amato would have a good idea, Phil. You know, I think she's the leader of one of them, and she would have a better idea.
That'd be pretty cool to get in their hands, so it would be something going back to them as well. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
If you have a contact that you think is the right person to start with, I'll give a call for sure.
Lori Arnold would probably be the best contact, or Kim Peters.
Are they
our county extension agents? And they pretty much run what the 4-H does.
Okay. And where do I find a phone number for them, Tony?
I could shoot you one.
Okay, yeah, I was looking it up as we're speaking, and of course I can't find it. So.
And you were talking about the college. I don't know, you know, since that's going to be in October, they may, if they would be interested in, for those few days, renting out some of the dorm rooms. You know, they do have all the facilities in there. They have the dining hall that may be also readily available to provide meals, you know, a breakfast and then perhaps a sack lunch or that kind of thing. But I'm not speaking on behalf of the college. I'm just thinking out loud as I used to work there. And I know requests of this nature always came to us.
Yeah. And do you think in October they would have room in the dorms or all the students?
I don't know the room capacity. That would be a question that probably until they wouldn't be able to answer until when they begin classes. And I don't even know when. Sometime in August. But I can actually, if you want, give you the name of the person and their phone number, so you can kind of put your name in there. Should there be an opportunity to, you know, even if you had access to 20 rooms, double, then you have a husband and wife staying there.
Sure. For sure. I'm happy to investigate, you know, anything we can. And also, you know, it's like CMC in Leadville, just, I have identified the contacts and they run with it. And then we just put the link on our website so people can click right on it.
Oh, yes.
You know, and it helps, you know, they handle everything, but we can at least market it for you in that way. So sure. That it sends the people there. So other impacts, Phil, that you're thinking about as you look at all this?
I think once you meet with the ranchers, you know, that's going to be, for us, that was the only, one of the things that needed to be addressed. I think from the county perspective, knowing what's going on and having access to, this is where, as Tony was talking about, this is where hydration station or, you know, so we have information should we get any questions. But I think the most important thing, you're working directly with law enforcement, city and county, so that makes a huge, all your EMT personnel, both city and county, so that makes a huge positive already step in the right direction. And then tomorrow when you meet with Mr. Zelli, you'll have pretty much from the concern that we had, as Tony said, on some of the county road, what was it, 39, and then you go see Mr. Zelli, and then I think the preparation is going so far and earlier than the last activity we had.
Frank Milanozzo is another one that you ought to get in touch with. I know he's been kind of disgruntled that you said you were coming out in May and then something happened, I guess. And so he's wound up. When you tell these people that you're going to do something, you better do it or you're going to get your feet held to the fire. Yeah.
Well, and that's fair enough, Tony. I think I talked to Frank Zelli, and he and I had a conversation about the weather was bad, and he didn't think it was good, too. But I don't know that I had that conversation with every one of the, all of the humans, all the people, all the farmers and ranchers. I want to make amends for that. And who you were just talking about is Frank Miller?
Milanozzo. He was kind of the little short, loud one. That was there.
Oh, yeah.
He got kind of wound up, if you remember.
Yeah, I do. And I also remember him coming full circle too, and like being able to hold a lot of different sides of it, even though he's wound up. So I appreciated that. You know, I think I heard the recognition that.
I'll forward you his contact info too.
Okay, perfect.
So, and you also reached out to CPW, correct?
Yeah, they were there.
Bob Holder and that group as well.
Yeah, they're Bob Holder and Adam are on the email for the 3rd of August, and I'll reach out to talk with them directly individually as well.
And you talked about putting the signs out along the route. You said you thought Well, I guess you kind of asked us what we thought would be appropriate, and you had thrown out the idea a week beforehand. That's probably sufficient. You put it out too soon and your sign's going to end up disappearing. Not to say they won't disappear anyway, but I think that would be sufficient. Commissioners, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, I think that's right. Even when even 3 days before the activity, the week before would be perfect.
That Monday before race day, does that feel okay?
Sounds good.
I will reach out to these other couple of, who did you say besides Bob Holder and Frank?
Frank Zelli, Frank Milanazzo, and Adam Friedel.
Okay, yeah. Yep, I've got all of those. You're going to send me Milanazzo? Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, I sent it to you, text.
Okay, perfect. I'll send him an email when we jump off here and just.
Phil, what was the lady's name that lit me up, sent me several emails? I can't remember her last name. She was there.
Yep.
She was present that night and I can't remember her name now.
And that first, she was the first kind of letter that came in saying, hey, it's opening season and blah, blah, blah.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm looking for that email as well, Tony. Do a reference, Phil, under antelope season, and it'll.
Is that how she's subject or?
I think so.
Melissa?
No. Yes. Gronquist or something like that?
Bonakista?
Yes. That's the one.
Yeah, she met with us. Remember, she was at the Fort Wooten night when we all met there, and she made it very clear. Yeah, Melissa Bonacquista.
Got it.
Yep. Well, I think, you know, you're doing so much work early and on, that's going to create this chain of communication, which is really great. From my perspective, thank you for doing this. I don't have any other recommendations. Just keep us in the loop, and I think it's going to be a success.
Thank you, Commissioner. One question, and I can get with you, Commissioner Haas, on this, is I mentioned this to you, but I would really love for us to do a, like the plan would be that we have a nice little festival that gets the businesses engaged and gets them involved, but also to bring in our farming and ranching community. I would love to see how we can get them involved in a farm to table dinner that's for the athletes post-race. Like we always do a post-race meal, and I feel like something a little more personal in Trinidad that brings in some of those folks would be really awesome. You have any thoughts, or I can jump offline with you, Commissioner Haas, if that's the right direction, but anybody in that group who might be good to pull in and see how we can involve, I mean, there's nothing better than what's coming from the land here itself. And to bring that component into the race, I feel like is a gift of Trinidad, and bridges might help bridge some of those pieces as well.
Yeah, my concern with you're thinking like barbecue or something like that.
I don't know, maybe, yeah. I mean, it could be that we have, you know, your farmer's market produce, and then we have some kind of beef or pork or something, you know, that's from local farm, just something that brings it together from the local resourcing. But what's your concern?
My concern would be we'd have to get it clear with the health department, and we can get that done. And then finding a grill big enough to feed, what are we suspecting, 700 people?
Probably. We're shooting for 1,000 between all three races.
Hey, Tony,
A thousand pounds of hamburger is about $5,000.
It's yeah.
That's okay. We like that.
You have Evergreen. They have that huge. I mean, now I'm getting into somebody else's backyard. Maybe I shouldn't.
Well, I was going to mention that also, Felix. And in fact, Phil and I were kind of discussing it beforehand, and that came up that And they have a huge grill that would certainly, and that would be community service on their part, right?
That is correct.
There isn't, times are tough this year with inflation and everything. I don't think you'll find 1,000 pounds of hamburger donated. I mean, there'd have to be, they might come off their price a little bit, but I don't believe they would donate at all, if you get what I'm saying.
To be honest with you, Commissioner, my hope is not that they're donating it, but yet again, we're figuring out ways to loop in the community and put the money back in the community in a way that feels good to everybody.
Sounds good.
You know, giving back, I think also sending the message of creating this event as a full Trinidad experience as opposed to a part of it. You know, your ranching and hunting community from my seat is a huge, huge component of this.
Yeah, you got to build that relationship and do what you say, and you'll earn their respect eventually. It takes a while. I've been here since 1984 and I'm still working in that direction. So
I appreciate that insight and I understand it. And I would say, you know, one way we could also look at this, I don't know if you guys were actually just referencing in terms of the, but you know, we can get all the produce and all the beef from the local farming ranching community and put it into the right catering group or some kind of group. And, you know, again, you're taking more money into another group and putting it back there and collaboratively bringing those pieces together. So if you have a group that you feel like, you know, of Trinidad folks who want to put on a meal for 1,000 people, I think that's fantastic. Or do we think about a group who has their public service stuff in place for that piece and we're just purchasing the beef and the produce from the local?
And we have farm to table going on right now. And I think because of the drought that we're in a significant drought right now, and irrigation for a lot of these small farms, we'd have to connect with Earth Mountain Farms, Phil, and Nichols. But October 8th is kind of pushing it out there to where that's the tail end of the, you know, the production side of produce. So yeah, that might be a challenge to get fresh produce. I'm not the one to talk to about that, though. Nichols and Earth Mountain Farm would be.
Is Nichols like the nickel, like a 5-cent nickel?
N-I-C-O-L-E. And they're actually, we're doing the farmer's market now at Central Park over there by InBank and Chimino Park, you know, where the slides and all that kind of stuff are. Anyway,
yeah,
they do that every Saturday now, Phil, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. And I was trying to find out when the farmer's market shuts down, but what I probably ought to do to Myra is just find Nichols's contact info and forward it to him, and you can have direct communication with him.
Okay, that sounds good.
I have Alan Nichols' number. I don't have Earth Mountain Farms' number, though.
Okay.
And they're a larger producer. Maybe they would have more product. I don't know.
Okay, so you'll forward Alan's info to her, Tony?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I can reach out to some of these folks. And, you know, the goal is to involve, engage as much of the community and surrounding as we can. And if it's the wrong time, I definitely know October is a little late for the produce into things. You know, we'll see what we can work out together and try to make something happen there. And if any other ideas come around from y'all, I appreciate that input and how we can create more avenues for people to be involved and for it to be a Trinidad event versus a lifetime coming in outside event.
You touched briefly upon perhaps changing the date. Any guesses to, or any ideas what you may be looking at? Just out of curiosity again. I'm kind of nosy.
No, not at all. We were tossing around May as an option. My worry is just wanting to deliver the best event possible. And I think that this, you know, I'm new in this game with Lifetime. I think their docket is, their dance card's kind of full. And I want to make sure that the date we pick, we can still put on a very good show for you and actually do what we say we're going to do as well in that arena. So that has been the discussion, was shifting it to May, but it's early in the season. So we bump up against a different set of issues of, oh, is this going to be the year that it snows in May? You know, whatever, which, you know, in Leadville, it always does, but down here, it's usually a little more temperate, right?
Yes.
So I think that's a possibility. And I think overall the conversation is finding the right date that fits for Trinidad, as well as when you can put on a gravel race safely.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges you're going to have is May would really appease the hunters and the outfitters and the ranchers. You know, they all generate a substantial part of their revenue during that time, and May would move it up and out of that, and that would certainly go over better with those individuals.
Noted. Definitely noted. What else can I answer right now or would be useful with this particular group? Phil, anything else you see that we haven't touched on?
No. Bob or Christy, you guys have any thoughts?
Not at this point. I did forward you a copy of the special events application.
I'll try to get that back. We have an event this weekend. I'm going to try to get it out to you before I leave, if I can tonight, and just at least get it in writing form. I wanted to make sure that we're on target with all those locations. And on that note, I think one of my questions was, and I had two different versions of this, y'all, also. I have this version, but I had another one that was given to me that was slightly different than that. And maybe it was just a city version. On that note, whoever speaks to this, like, I would like to put more toilets out on the course.
Oh, yes.
Is there any issue? Like, what do I need to consider in terms of, like, I'd like to just, we'll put them close to the aid stations the way they are on this map. And anything that you want me to be aware of in terms of that location, how close, how much setback or whatever, like what's okay in terms of where they're located?
I think Frank Zelli and Frank Milanazzo would tell you that you on those, there might need to be another aid station or a potty break station somewhere where they're not using their driveways. That would be good.
Yeah, I understand that. And definitely we want to, you know, I'm putting it into every place I can in discussion with like how messaging is forced out to our athletes, you know, and we've done a lot, I'll be honest, I've done a lot of messaging in Leadville, from podcasts to commercial kind of things, you know, all kinds of pieces trying to get the point across about how to be a good human. And we want to do the same thing down here for sure.
Yeah, you want to develop that relationship where they'll trust you. You don't want to come out, you know, and slap them in the face right off the get-go, because it takes a while for them to get over getting, you know, stepped on. So,
well, there's a lot of reason behind that, and I respect that.
I found Earth Mountain Farms' phone number too. I'll send you that also.
Okay. And then I'm looking through this to make sure, like the alcohol pieces, we are just for a visual, my hope is that we'll have Los Animas to Walnut is what we're looking at having closed or requesting closure on, and that this beer garden will be contained in a catered area, fenced off area inside of that, probably in the Main Street area, close to where we'll have some music and the finish of the race, to try to create something of interest to everybody, like more food trucks, more things that are of interest to while we want to do farm to table for our athletes, we also want to cater to whatever creates a good experience for everybody. So creating some kind of energy around that. And I just noticed that the alcohol piece is on your permit as well. And I know that section is city permitted, right? In that area. Is that accurate? In the main and commercial area, that's a city.
Yes. That's city property. Yeah.
Okay.
So you won't have to, pardon me?
Go ahead.
So you won't have to complete that portion of our permit.
Okay. I'll focus on everything. And can you just tell me, because I know in Leadville, I was just having this conversation with somebody that actually the city is only 2nd Street to 10th Street and everything outside of that is county. So it has taught me to ask the question of where your city and county lines are.
Either myself or Bob can send you a map that shows where those boundaries are.
That'd be great. Just so I make sure I sign off on everything on this permit that you need county-wise to have optics on.
Bob, can you do that? Or if not, I can.
Yeah, probably you, or you might check with the city because they may have, an updated map, because the ones that I have are kind of outdated.
I'll send you what I've got, Tamira, and it should be accurate.
Okay. And hey, Phil, it's Tamara.
Excuse me. I keep calling you Tamira.
Well, that's because that's how it looks. That's how it's spelled. Here's another question for you. I want to run through this real quick and make sure, because I don't think we got a chance to speak about this last year. So with these events, we typically have some kind of crewing happening where folks may come out to spectator crew. And we didn't see a crazy huge amount of this, but right now you'll notice on that map I sent you, I've got crew station 1 and then crew station 2 and 3. I think the 2 and 3 are easy. I talked to the frontage property owners out on the highway there, and we had permission to use that space. The alternate crew 3 seems to be a much safer, like non-questionable space because it's that frontage road that doesn't seem to have a ton of access on it. And the idea being that our parking staff, we would have parking staff out there who would park people to one side so you keep emergency services lanes open and have no issue with through traffic. And they're only stopping course or event related traffic. And obviously everything else is public and open and our athletes are made aware of that. The question, the one that seems questionable to me to make sure we talk about, and we actually did talk with the property owners out here, is where that County Road 40 and 239 come together. And there's a crewing area out there. Any concerns with that? We would have the same setup where they come off of the highway. They're never on the course. They're parking on one side of the road only. There's a full lane and a half left open. Emergency services have access to get through. Any concerns there?
No, I think that's a pretty fair-sized intersection, as long as you're not blocking off all the traffic, and you said you haven't or you didn't, so.
Those are the only, go ahead, Christy, sorry.
I wanted to ask really quick about that. You said the beer garden. Yes, so ma'am. Who's running it? You're running it or?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a step out of being race director.
My question is, I just wanna make sure that you guys do know about collecting sales tax for state, county, and the city. I just didn't know if you all knew that.
So the plan I had, and I checked this off with you, like in, my understanding, the way that we do it in Leadville is that our local nonprofit Sports Hall of Fame applies for the permits and they run it. And basically every athlete gets a beer. So those beers are done. And then there's a suggested donation for the rest of the beer that's there for other people who want to buy a drink. And all that money goes back to the organization who runs it. And I was planning to approach the chamber to handle that.
Okay. So even if it's a nonprofit, I think I'm saying there still needs to be collect sales tax from, I'm saying, but like I said, if are you not charging anybody for it? You're not, so this beer is just being given away?
So the way that this has always gone at this kind of event is your athletes get a tab on their bib that's for a free drink.
Okay.
And there's always somebody with these folks who wants a beer or a drink. And rather than we're selling alcohol, there's a suggested donation, and that donation goes back to whichever organization is running it. And that, in Leadville at least, and in as my understanding of the state, as long as you're not selling alcohol, we're not putting up a price tag and saying, hey, it's $5 a beer, then we're not required to go down that path. But am I missing something?
Well, you might want to contact the state or talk to the city about that. You want to contact the state because we just dealt with one earlier, and a state representative said, yes, nonprofits need to collect sales tax.
Okay. I'll let you.
You might want to contact the state about that then, the way you're handling it.
Usually, and this is the way that we do it there, is the city, I fill out the permits, or whoever the organization is fills out the permits. They send it to the state or don't. Like, they have that, and the city handles that part. So we stay out of it altogether and essentially just put it back into the organizations. I'll work with them, but that permitting is liquor and, you know, wine and spirits or whatever based, and that goes through the city initially and then goes, and the city then sends it on to the state, is my understanding.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Any other pieces?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. I appreciate everybody's time, and I will continue to reach out to some of these folks we've talked about. Commissioner Haas, I think we're good with the information we've done here in terms of, I know I was going to meet with you after, but I think I'm actually set until we get more information on this farm to table piece.
Okay.
And I'll follow up with Kim Chavez also on communications, and then get with some of our local ranching and farming and continue to bridge those pieces of communication there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is pretty most helpful. So wishing you the best of success. And remember, the county is a resource and a source for you as well, for your activities to be a success. So thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.